Okay, Shalom Aleichem, everyone. Thank you, David, for initiating this, and Rav Hillel, I guess, to get someone from the Israel to come join. I would like to begin that it is a miracle that I'm sitting here as well, just like it was a miracle that Rav Kalman showed up and you met up after many years that you haven't met. It is a miracle for me to be here for many reasons, but I think the best reason is that I'm taking over the class, or I have taken over the class that Rav Kalman Zatzal taught for 50 years. When Rav Kalman was in the hospital the last year that he taught, he went to the hospital a few days before Pesach, and usually he taught Masechta the whole year, Masechta Brachos, and this is his Gemara, David. This is the Gemara that he used for many years, and I had to finish the year instead of him. So I did feel very comfortable to actually make a siyum without him being present. He finished the Masechta, most of the Masechta, up to the 8th Perek, and I taught 8th Perek and 9th Perek, and I decided that maybe I should actually have him speak from the hospital to the Bachrim at the Siyum. I spoke to Nehemiah, his son, and he says, oh, my father would love it, so he arranged that he should actually call in. Rav Weinreb was so happy, Rav Kalman called in. Not only he spoke, he actually made a Siyum. He was in hospital, and he was very weak, but he made a siyum. And he said to the Bachrim that this is the 50th year that he taught this Masechta to the Bachrim. And it was very special to him. That occasion that he was able to do another year, another siyum with the Talmidim, albeit from far, from the hospital. And I tell you one more thing from Rav Kalman, now that I have the microphone. Rav Kalman cared about people and cared about his students tremendously. He asked me to give them a bechina, to give them a test after Shavuos on the 7th Perek. So I got a call from him, Motzae Shavuos, from the hospital, that he found out that I did not give enough time for the Bachrim to chazer. He kind of blamed me on that. And then he told me, take out the, I think it was question 4, question 5, it's too hard for them. He didn't give them enough time to chazer. He wanted the Bachrim to do well, to chazer, I did not give them enough time, and he didn't want them that they shouldn't do well because of the fact that they didn't do enough chazorah. So I hope I'm worthy to actually sit on his spot and share some Divrei Torah, but I'll try my best. What do you think Rav Kalman is doing? You know, when Rav Eli told me that I should speak, it was about Thursday night, Friday, and I felt like maybe I should speak something about Gemara and Brachos. Rav Kalman taught this Brachos, the Gemara was very dear to him. And he's perhaps learning Brachos in Shemayim, you know. Maybe he's learning more Be'iyun, maybe he's giving a shir. So I thought to share with you some thoughts, the Gemara in Brachos, and also connected to Yomim Noraim. The Gemara in Brachos, Dav Zayin Amar Aleph, brings a story. The Gemara brings a story with Rav Yehoshua ben Levi. The Gemara earlier says that there is a rega, there is a moment that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets angry every day, which Bilam HaRasha wanted to utilize and cursed Bnei Yisrael as they were coming out of Mitzrayim. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Shimon ben Levi wanted to utilize that moment and curse a fellow tzeduki that was bothering him. There was a fellow tzeduki, a man, somebody who would ask questions frequently from Rabbi Shimon ben Levi to bother him and to prove him perhaps Torah is wrong, or perhaps maybe he should believe in other beliefs. And Rabbi Shimon ben Levi was very disturbed with that. And he wanted to get the moment of curse and curse this tzeduki to die. The Gemara says, how did he figure that out, what the moment was? The Gemara says he had a mesora, that the moment is when the karbalta of Tarnagoyla, when the crown of the rooster turns all white, that's the moment, one split second, the rega of Hashem that gets angry. So he wanted to curse the tzeduki at that moment. So he had a tarnagol on his lap, and looking at the karbalta, and apparently he falls asleep and he misses the rega. The Gemara says when he wakes up, he realizes that must be, it was not a proper thing for him to do. The Gemara says, Omar, Shema mino lav orach aro lemebad hochi. I see from this that it was not a proper derech eres for me to act in such a way, to actually curse a tzeduki. And then the Gemara says a pasuk, V'racham oval kol ma'asov. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu has mercy on all his creatures. Uchsiv, and the Pasuk also says, Gam onosh letzadik lo tov. A tzadik should not be involved in bringing onosh, in bringing punishment to people. although they're Rishoyim. But it's not a job of a tzaddik. It sounds like there are three reasons in the Gemara. It's not a derech eretz, and onosh la tzaddik lo tov, tzaddikim should not be involved in giving einesh, and racham aval kamasav, HaKadosh Baruch has mercy even on Rishoyim. So the first question I would like to pose is that we're talking about a Rasha. Racham aval kamasav, HaKadosh Baruch has rachamim on Rishoyim. That seems to be a little bit of a chiddush. Now, the other question that the Rishonim already asked is that Tosfos over here asks, one of the Mefarshim asks, that, wait a second, Tzidukim, the Gemara says in Avodah Zarah, Moridim Velamalim. If a person is walking by and he sees a Tziduki that perhaps is doing something that is a little bit dangerous, you're allowed to push him and make him lose his life. You're allowed to basically murder him, b'yadayim. Tzedukim or Rishoyim or Kofrim. And Hashem doesn't want them to live in this world. The mitzvah, Shulchan Aruch says, Moridim v'lamalim is not just a Rishos. It's a Shulchan Aruch, it's a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah to be Moridim v'lamalim, the Tzedukim. So if it's a mitzvah to be Moridim v'lamalim, the Gemara says, Racham aval kamasav, the Gemara says, it's not derech eretz to curse him. It makes no sense. It's almost a contradiction. This is the question of the Tosfos on Zayin Amar Aleph. Tosfos says two answers to this question. In the second answer, Tosfos says, it's better to change the girsa. It doesn't say it's better to change the girsa, but it sounds like Tosfos is saying, if you change the girsa, and it seems that there are other girsos, and say that it's not a tziduki, rather it's a goy, so then it makes sense. There is no din that we should do moridim velo ma'alim to goyim. It's only a din by tzidukim, who are koifrim, with Rosh Baal Peh, that there is such a halach, there is such a mitzvah. So if it's a goy, there's no question. So then the Gemara is saying that there's no reason that you should curse a goy just because it's bothering you. Racham aval kamasav. Hashem loves goyim. Hashem cares about goyim as well. In the first teretz of Tosfos, Tosfos says that there is a difference between bidei odom and bidei shamayim. Bidei odom, it's a mitzvah. But bidei shamayim, la barach aro, lahanish ul hatriach, kuchubrichu. That's not derech eretz. So the question is, why not? Still, what's the answer that the Tosfos is giving? What's the difference between cursing and doing biyadayim? Biyadayim, it's a mitzvah. Klolo is not derech eretz. And also, the reasons that the Gemara is giving need some further explanation. Because bida odom, there is no problem of lack of derech eretz. There is no problem of onosh latzadik lo tov. There is no problem of racham lakol masav. But when it comes to bida shamayim, klolo, don't do it. What's the pshat? What's the pshat in the first verse of Tosfos? So there are two mahalochim in the Achronim. One mahalach is from Rav Shlomo Kluger. The other mahalach is from Yad David. Rav Shlomo Kluger in Avodas Avoido, Masechet Avodah Zarah Daf Aleph Beis, brings a psak from the Ramah. This is a halacha b'negia to saying Kaddish. The Gemara says that there are certain people that perhaps we don't say Kaddish for. The Ramah paskins that Mumur is a person that we don't say Kaddish for. Unless the mumur was nehrag, was murdered. If a mumur, who perhaps doesn't have olam habo as much, gets killed, then his son could say kaddish for him. The Shach and the Taz are medayik from this Ramah, that's only true if it's nehrag, if it's killed. But if he dies on his bed, a regular misa, so then enachinami. We can't say kaddish for him. Why? Because when a person is killed, there's a kapara. Well, when a person dies on his deathbed, on his mita, there's not necessarily kapara.
What's a mumar?
Mumar is a person who does things to make Hashem angry, who does averus to make Hashem angry. So therefore, Hashem is not so interested in him, in olam haba. He doesn't belong in eternal life to be next to Hashem. Like every tzaddik after he dies, his neshama will be close to Hashem, depending on how much of a tzaddik he was in this world, how much he accomplished in getting close to Hashem. Mumar is a person that doesn't belong there. So therefore, the mumarim, there's no point to say Kaddish, because Kaddish is supposed to bring you closer, brings the neshama closer to Hashem. So if a person is nehrag, then gets kapara. If a person is dead on his deathbed, so then there's no kapara. So Zakrav Shlomo Kluger, that's the pshat in this Tosfos. If a person kills a tzeduki, who is a rasha, who doesn't perhaps have olam haba, so then he gets kapara, because he's getting killed. So there, the Yisrael is doing the mitzvah of being moirid, this neshama l'sheol, he's killing this Siduki who's supposed to be killed. But at the same time, he's doing him a favor. He's bringing him some kapara that because of that, he'll be zochet some kurva to Hashem in Olam Hab. So therefore, zakt Rav Shlomo Kluge, if you curse him, he's going to die on his deathbed. He's going to die on his bed. He's not going to get the kapara from getting killed. So therefore, that's what the Gemara is saying. It's not derech eretz that you're killing him in a way that he's not going to get kapara. Yam onesh latzadik lo tov is not good for you to bemanish him in a way that there's no kapara. Maybe it's better for you to wait until somebody's morid him and then he gets a kapara in Shemaim. It will be better for him to get a little bit of a kapara. Yam onesh latzadik lo tov is not derech eretz, and that's racham aval kumasa. Even at Siduki, Rav Shlomo wants him to get some kapara for Olam Hab. Very good. So he's assuming that the curse will be that he's just going to not wake up the next day.
How about
it's a different discussion. Maybe we'll discuss it after this year. So Yad David wants to say a different mahalach. Yad David says that, of course, if you see a tzeduki next to you, Shulchan Aruch says that you must kill him. It's a mitzvah. But what if you don't see a tzeduki that you have an opportunity to kill? So then you should be medayik. If Hashem doesn't want me to actually be with him in a situation that I could actually kill him without getting in trouble, so then Hashem wants him to live. If Hashem wants him to live, that means Hashem wants him to either use up his zechusim, or Hashem has hope that he's going to do tshuva. It's not your place to get involved and cursing him that he should actually leave this world. So Yad David is basically saying that anachinami. The reason that Tosfos is suggesting that cursing is bad is because you're taking the matter in your control. It's not your choice. Hashem wants him to live, and Hashem does not want him to be next to a person who's going to be morid him, lemisa. So if that's the case, you should be medayik from it, that Hashem is interested in him living. So if that's the case, onosh latzadik lotov, is not derech eretz for you to get involved in being manish him, if Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't want him to be next to you so that he could be morid him. So that is the pshat that Yad David says, and that is how he explains the Tosfos, the terutzim of the Tosfos, the teretz of Tosfos, the chiluk between klala and morid b'sheol, and why is racham aval kol masa. Maybe Hashem has rachamim on him. Hopefully he'll do tshuva. Now, there is still one more question that we have to ask on this gemara. Every day, three times a day, we daven that people who are rishayim should actually die. In the bracha of Lamini Velamalshinim, different nuschos, we daven that Zaydim, Minim, Malshinim, they should be yoker from the world. They should be uprooted from the world. So the question is, the Gemara says in Masechta Brachos that you're not allowed to curse. And we just explain two ways why that is. But we daven for it every day, three times a day. So if you're not allowed to curse, what's the pshat? You're allowed to daven. Huh? If you're not specific meaning. But what's the difference? What's the difference? So lemaisa, you're davening for meaning, to be yoker from this world. What's the chiluk? I found that this kasha is asked by Be'er Sheva in Masechta Sanhedrin, Kuf Heim with Beis, and one of the Rishonim who has a parish on Brachos of Shemoneh Esrei with the name Rabbi Yehuda Bar Yochar. I couldn't find it, but I saw it was quoted. Two terutzim to this kasha. Be'er Sheva wants to say that when you curse, using the moment of Zam, you're forcing the Ribbono Shel Olam to carry out this wish, this will, that he should be dead. That is a lack of derech eretz. You're forcing Hashem? What are you doing? When you're mispalel, you're being mo'er Hashem mizas rachamim or midas adin, so it's really up to Hashem. That's the difference. In this tshuva, in the sefer from Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Yochar, he wants to say a different answer. He wants to say that when we daven for Minim and Malshinim and the Zaydim to be yoker from this world, it's only after we daven for them that they should do tshuva. It's only after we daven for them, Hachzireinu l'torasecha, that we should do tshuva, and we should have in mind all the people who are far from the Ribbono Shel Olam, that they should all come close. And it's like a t'nai. And if this person doesn't come close, if person doesn't appreciate what it means to live in this world, and utilize this world to come close to Ribbono Shel Olam. So then, Lamini Valmachinim Alti Tikva, or however the Nusach is, that there should be Okr, because then there's no Kavod for Ribbono Shel Olam, that they should exist in this world. We are all created in this world to bring Kavod to Hashem. So if a person is far from Hashem, so we daven they should come close and be Mechabed Hashem. But if he's not coming close to Hashem, it's better for him not to be here. That is the tefillah that we daven. So comes out that there is a difference between klala and tefillah, either because of Yadavi that klala is forcing Hashem and tefillah is not, or it's because tefillah is justified because after we daven for them to do tshuva, then we actually have the right to daven for them because it's not kavod for Ribbono Shel Olam that they should exist in this world. There's another Gemara. The Gemara in Daf Yud. The Gemara in Daf Yud brings another story. The Gemara says that there was another person that was bothering another Tana. The Gemara says there were biryunim. There was a biryuni. Tosfos Rosh explains that he was a listening mizuyon, a robber that was bothering Rav Meir. He was his neighbor and would bother him. I don't know exactly what he did, but habukom mitzari letuva. Rav Meir wanted to daven for him. That he should get killed. He boy Rachem Alei, that he should die. He wanted to actually daven for him that he should die. His wife found out. Beruria, famous wife of Rav Meir, found out. And he said to him, it's not a proper thing to daven for Rishon to die. And he said to her, it says in the Pasuk, Yitamu Chatoim, doesn't say Choytim, doesn't say sinners should die. It says that the sin should go away. When the sin and the Yitzhahara goes away, so we'll all serve Hashem properly. So daven for him to do true. That's what it says. The Gemara says Rav Meir listened to his wife, like every good husband does. He listened to his wife, and in fact, this biryuni became a tzaddik. So the question is, so Tosfos Rosh asks on this Gemara that how could Rav Meir wanted to first daven for him to die? Didn't he know that it says in the Gemara earlier that is not a derech eretz for a person to curse a rasha? It's not a derech eretz for the tzaddik to take matter in his control and try to kill people with his words, with his klala, with his tefillah. So Tosfos Rosh asking this kasha is lechayra telling us that there is no difference between klala and a tefillah. And Tosfos Rosh is basically saying that there is no chiluk and our question still remains. Why is it that there is a difference between klala and tefillah? Because we do daven for Rishayim to die. So according to Rosh, Rav Meir should have realized that it's not a derech eretz, and he's assuming that klala and tefillah are the same. So I think we have to say one of two answers. Either we have to say that the question is that, yes, he was not going to daven for him to do tshuva. If you're not davening that he should do tshuva, it's not a derech eretz for you to daven that he should die. Lefitos Rosh, klal and tefillah is the same. But if you daven for him to do tshuva, then you're allowed to go ahead and daven for him to die if he doesn't do tshuva. But according to the other mahalach, the mahalach of Be'er Sheva, I think you have to say that tzarichim. It could be that he felt that maybe Tzedukim can't do tshuva, maybe it's too difficult for them to do tshuva. At the end of the day, there's a kasha from this Tosfos Rosh on this mahalachim that we just said, because they're saying that there's a difference between tefillah and klala, and it seems from Tosfos Rosh that there is no difference. No. Sounds like it was just a robber. Sounds like it was just a rasha. Now, I would like to finish with one thought, which is, I think, a very important thought, especially before Yomim Noraim. We just spoke about this concept that we could daven for each other to be better. The Maharsha asks, how does this work? How could you daven for somebody to be a tzaddik? Being a tzaddik, it's something that it's in your control. It's you who exercise your bechira to choose to be a tzaddik. Doing tshuva is a mitzvah. So how could it be that we could daven for somebody who's a rasha to be a tzaddik? We know that we all have bechira. So how does our davening helping someone else? We could daven that he should have parnosa, he should be healthy. But how could you daven for someone else to be a tzaddik? And the way the Maharsha explains it is that hakol bidei shamayim chutz meiras shamayim. Everything comes from Hashem, except our exercise of Bechira. The Gemara says in Masechet Nida that before a baby is formed in the mother, the Malochim, ask Hashem, should he be wealthy or poor? Should he be tall or short? What about his skin color? It's all decided. But one thing is not decided, whether he should be a tzaddik or a rasha. Because Hakol bidei shamayim chutz mi yiras shamayim. Yiras shamayim is totally in our control. Hashem did not decide before we were born if we should be tzaddikim or chas v'shalom not. So here, we're davening for somebody to be a tzaddik. How can we do that? How does it work? So two answers to this question. I will close with this. The Maharsha says that there are two types of yiras shamayim. Sometimes a person could have fear of Hashem because how great Hashem is. How amazing, how wonderful Hashem is. Looking at the world, the universe, you're in awe. It draws you close because Hashem is so big. And you want to be close to Him because of that. That's Yira of Romimus, the Yira of Hashem's greatness. Then there is another Yira. You're scared of a punishment. You're scared of Einish. I'm sure you all know what's going on in Lebanon. Yeah? I don't know if they're using an electric toothbrush. Maybe there's a bomb in a toothbrush, right? Or a light bulb, or who knows what else. A person has fear of something could make him act differently. So the Maharsha says, the Gemara says in Masechet Yevamos, that when Hashem brings Puranas to the world, is to awaken us. There's a tsunami in Japan, it's supposed to awaken us. That every Puranas that comes in the world, it's supposed to be Me'er a Jew to get closer to Hashem. So Zok the Maharsha, when you daven for a Rasha to become a Tzaddik, you're davening so that he should be Mis'er to the things that happen around him, so that he should have fear. His neighbor got sick, his neighbor got in a car accident, somebody lost his money. He should start wondering, maybe it was a punishment from Hashem, and maybe I should be better, so that I shouldn't get that punishment. So Zok the Maharsha, that's what we're davening. So that Ribbono Shel Olam should bring fear of consequences of his actions to his mind, so that he should choose to be Baal Teshuva. That's one mahalach. The second mahalach is from the Chazon Ish. Chazon Ish says a very amazing, it's an unbelievable chiddush, and you have to think about it for yourself. Chazon Ish says, that which Hashem does not control our decision making for being a tzaddik or a rasha, is that Hashem doesn't make a gezeira on us. He doesn't initiate that we should be a tzaddik or a rasha. We make choices on our own. But if somebody is davening for you, that you should be a tzaddik, of course it works, because he's initiating. Hashem is not initiating it. When a person davens for someone else to have parnosa, when a person davens for someone else to have, to become a tzaddik, to have zechus of mitzvahs, kurban Hashem, so it's his bechira. He's exercising his bechira so that Hashem make this person come closer to him. That's not Hashem being geyser without his bechira. He's davening. He's meir Hashem. Is biyad Adam. And then Chazon Ish says, kol Yisrael are guf echad. All Klal Yisrael are one body. Just like the right hand and the left hand are part of the same body, every member of Klal Yisrael are one. And therefore, if I daven for myself to do tshuva, it works. Because Hashem sees I want to come close to Him. So if I daven for my friend to come close to Hashem, it will help. Because we're one. That's what Chazon Ish says. And I would like to leave you with what my Hasidic friend usually tells me on Erev Rosh Hashanah. I have a Hasidic friend, believe it or not, from New York. We always speak Erev Rosh Hashanah. It's actually a friend of mine from many years ago. I spent time with him in Hopkins, and we still keep in touch. Every Erev Rosh Hashanah, he tells me, Rav Rom, have me in mind. I never have what he means. Like, have me in mind. Some Hasidic Zach. Are you supposed to have people in mind? I'm not blowing shofar for him, right? You know? Well, what does it mean, have me in mind? So I always thought about it. Every time I hang up the phone, I think about it. And I think what he means to say is like this. If we all feel that we are together, if we all feel that Klal Yisrael is one unit, and what we do matters, and we could help each other grow, we could help each other be better. That is what perhaps is have me in mind. That we are together. That we are together. We go in front of Hashem on Rosh Hashanah, Yom Hadin, and if we're together, so Be'ez Hashem will be Matzliach, that we should have a Gemar, Ksiva, Chasim, Tov, Be'ez Hashem on Rosh Hashanah, and Rebbe Hashem should have Rachamim on Gan Tka Yisrael.
Amen.
Shkai for listening.
Rabbi, thank you. Rabbi, I want to thank you for being here today. It's very special. I thank you, know. Thank you.
Thank you, David.
Thank you, David. Excellent. Stay for me.